This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock.
Season premiere 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday, April 27th at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
The season begins tonight.
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The Pittsburgh Steelers select.
Good to see you, Adam Schefter.
In my mind, Mike Tomlin likes Shedeur Sanders.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Green Bay Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion Kurt Warner, ESPN NFL Draft hosts Reese Davis and Mike Greenberg. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Day two of our three-day residency here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's draft day, draft night tonight here in the home of the Green Bay Packers. We just had a fun 2 hours. Ian Rappaport, Daniel Jeremiah, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. If you missed any of it, we re-air on the Roku Sports Channel. There's also our podcast, all 3 hours. You can get us to listen to us whenever you want on demand. There's our YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's many ways for you to take in this show, and we greatly appreciate you doing that. Hour number three kicks off with my buddy, my Hall of Fame friend here in the town where it all began, where Steve Mariucci cut him.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen,
wow.
Kurt Warner.
It was a quick beginning,
but it all began.
It's one of my favorite Hall of Fame moments is when Holmgren was on the set with Mooch and they were all like, no, it was him.
Right, pointing fingers.
Was him, it's those guys.
It's always going to be Mooch.
You're sitting there.
I don't really know, but it's always going to be Mooch.
It was just great. You're sitting there in your jacket.
Right.
In Canton, Ohio. Right. Behind us is the museum where your bust is residing forever.
Yeah.
And there are the two coaches who are blaming each other for cutting you.
Oh, and
it
and
was awesome.
And I'll see.
I was happy for you.
And I'll see Ron Wolf, and he'll walk by me, you know, at those different things. And it was Mooch. You know, like, it was Mooch. Like, that's what everybody says. It was Mooch.
It was like him. That Spider-Man thing where all three Spider-Men are just.
Right. It was your fault.
Right.
You know, and I thought of you too. I passed a Hy-Vee on the way in here, man.
All right, there you go.
You know what I mean? It's all the makings of your journey are all over this town right
here,
man.
Sprinkled along the way.
But it's just again another reminder of how crazy difficult it is to evaluate quarterbacks in this league. You know, and so how do you evaluate this quarterback class? I'm sure you've grinded all the tape in advance of tonight, Kurt.
I have, and you know how I am, Rich. Is that I'm not the huge draft guy.
I know that
because I believe all of these guys have to get better if they're going to be great at the next level. So what we're evaluating is how good they were in college, which I get it. That's all we can do. And I think this is a good, solid group of college quarterbacks. Like, you know, you can go 7, 8 deep of guys that had really good college careers. And so, you know, where a lot of people are saying, oh, this is not very good class, I disagree with that. I think it's a good class, a good, solid class. But the question becomes, who's transcendent? You know, who can be a guy at the next level? And especially when you look at where our league is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go down team to team throughout the NFL, we have got a handful of teams that need quarterbacks. All the other teams, maybe outside of the Rams, have younger starting quarterbacks that have a long way to go in their careers. So it's not you know, we're not in a QB needy league right now in terms of a bunch of teams looking to get their guy. There's only a handful of teams out there. And so that to me is the question with this class is, can one of these guys become that Tom Brady that, you know, elevates his game when he gets to the next level? Because when you watch him, nobody maybe outside of Cam gives you that, okay, this guy's got that chance, you know, to do something special. Everybody else is kind of in that same mix.
So you do separate Cam Ward from the rest?
I do, yes. You know, and simply because for me, it's, you know, that unique ability he has to create with his right arm that I don't think the other guys really have. And so with that, it gives you that caveat to go, okay, maybe all those other things are the same, but he gives us something that could be special, that could be different. And, you know, I don't know if what you've seen on tape from him says, oh yeah, surefire going to be a star at this level, but I do separate him because he's got some uniqueness to the playmaking ability that he has and what he can do with his right arm that he intrigues you from that perspective.
Well, and speaking of unique, first time we've ever evaluated a quarterback who we first met as a child when he was hanging out on the set of Game Day, yeah, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild talking about Shador as a draft prospect and, yeah, and what's going on with him. What is your evaluation of Shador Sanders?
Well, I mean, the first thing is I think he's the most accurate quarterback in this draft.
You think
and
so?
I do. Yeah. I mean, when he sets his feet and throws the football, he throws a very catchable ball. He throws a very accurate ball. And you know me, I'm a firm believer that if you can be accurate with the football, that gives you a chance, you know, every time you drop back. But again, with all of these guys, there's things that he has to get better at, you know, that he's got to be more solid in the pocket, you know, and we can sit back and go, well, was it because the offensive line struggled so much that he got uncomfortable? But that's something that he's going to have to be better at. He's going to have to process information faster than he did in college, where he held on to the ball for me too long. You can't do that at this level, especially because he's not the great athlete that is going to be able to live in that athletic, creative world. So he's going to have to get the ball out. So I like a lot of the things that he did in college, but he's going to have to get better at this next level. And that, again, is where it says, you know, all the intrigue is, does he go in the first round? Does he not go in the first round? I think it stems from that stuff, is that there's some things he does that are really, really well. There's some things that he has to be better at this level. So what does that mean? Does that mean he is a number, you know, a first round draft pick, or does that mean he's a guy that needs a little bit more development?
Is he second on your, if you will, quarterback chart?
He is second on my list.
He is.
Just because of the number of plays that he made, the accuracy that comes with it.
You also know firsthand, I mean, for anybody who watched you, you know, or your movie, you got to be able to take a hit,
oh, yeah,
know, and stand in there. And if, I mean, there's no question about that, yeah, with him.
And offensively, he was asked to carry the team. Like, it wasn't as if they had, you know, all these great guys up front. He could hand the football off. They had a great, like, it was on his shoulders to make play after play after,
right,
play. And that's another thing that I don't think people really understand is how difficult that is when you know every game you're going into, mm-hmm, you're going to have to throw the ball 40 times. And if you're going to win, you're going to have to play well. And so I think there are definitely some things that you like about him and that were different about him than the other guys. But there's also, you can look at other guys and go, well, maybe he does this a little bit better than Shador. And maybe he does this a little bit better than Shador. And so that's where, to me, the evaluation comes down. He was second on my board, but I could see a team going, oh, but I like what Jackson Dart does in this area a little bit better than what Shador does. And I could see that, you know, close. So does one team choose him over Shador? I could definitely see that happening. And it really comes down to what's your flavor, what are you looking to do, and how do you feel they fit your system?
What's your flavor? If team's knocking on your door and saying, Kurt, you know, we're not taking a first-round quarterback. We, mm-hmm, just can't. We got too many other holes or whatever, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Friday night, we're really in the quarterback game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, like, hey, all things being equal,
yeah,
you choose who?
Well, again, I mean, I have Shador number two.
Yes.
So I think just in an overall general perspective, I would probably say him. But the other thing that's always a caveat for me is, you know, I don't get to get in a room with these guys.
Right, sure.
Because that to me is the most important thing.
You mean a grease board, that sort of stuff?
Well, just tell me why. Take me into the tape. Tell me what you were thinking, what you saw. If I draw this play on the board, what's your mindset right off the bat? I want these guys to think fast and process fast. And that's what I don't get a chance to do. And so that's always a disappointing part because I only go off of what's on tape. And then off of tape, now you have to look at college football and how it's built, the number of screens that you throw, the number of RPOs. So which team is drafting these guys? Because that would be another question for me. Is
fit is understood, but, yeah, you know, but you know this is not nuanced,
no,
but I need an answer. You know?
Well, I mean, again, you know, because Shadur is number two on my board, that's probably where I'm going.
So let's take him out of the mix. He's gone.
Okay.
So who's next? You got Dart, or you got, you know, everyone, people talk about Milroe with a huge ceiling. The analogy I heard was lottery ticket when you draft him.
Yeah, I mean.
So I don't know.
Again, with him is that, first thing I'll say is his throwing ability in certain games that you watched is better than I think people give him credit for. And so I think that's a huge upside to go along with the playmaking. But his technique too often, you know, created missed throws for me. So that would be a hard one for me.
Okay.
If I was expecting this guy to play within the next year or two, would be hard for me to go that route. You know, I think it's either Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck would be those two guys. And Shuck intrigues me because I love his feet. I think he's got a live arm. He's got, you know, a lot of traits that I really, really like.
And I noticed at the combine when he was done, our cameras caught you and Shuck chopping it
up.
What was he picking your brain about?
I was talking to him just a little bit about technique because there were some throws that got away from him with technique.
Footwork stuff. Okay.
You know, finishing throws. You know, there were times that he lets his feet get away from the throw because he can, because he's talented, but it also costs him a lot. So we were just talking about some of those things of, instead of worrying about impressing somebody because I can throw off balance or I can throw with my feet going this direction, make every throw by working to get your feet in the right direction, in the right position to throw. And so, yeah, we've had a little bit of conversation since the combine on some different things that I saw when I was watching tape. So I like both of those guys, and I think it would really come down to, I want to sit in a room with them, I want to pick their brain, see what kind of football people they were to separate them, but those would be my next two that are in the mix.
What about McCord and Howard, the two Ohio State guys in succession here?
I mean, Kyle McCord, I really like. You know, again, I think the caveat with him is he threw more than anybody in college football, so there's going to be more mistakes. There's going to be, you know, more turnovers for a guy like that. But I thought in what I call intermediate throws, so like 10 to 20 to 25 yards, I thought he was the best thrower in this class at continually making those intermediate type throws. And so he was asked to carry a team. He was asked to throw every time out. Really like him. I wonder the physical upside, you know, the throws down the field when he's, you know, off platform, can he create those kind of throws at the next level? And then Will, you know, I watched Will play at K-State with my son Cade for a couple years, where I thought a project as a thrower. Then he goes to Ohio State, was forced to be more of a thrower there. I thought he made great strides. So I still think there's room for him to grow. My biggest thing with Will is I'm just not sure he's a natural thrower. There's some guys where it's just easy and natural. Other guys are trying to, you know, create those throws. And that's my question with Will is he that natural thrower, which is what I'm going to always want at the quarterback position, where it's just fluid and it's just normal and they make the throws that they're supposed to make every time. And he didn't always do that.
And then there's another guy. I mean, we just mentioned the two guys who followed C.J. Stroud in Columbus and a guy who was with C.J. Stroud in Columbus and Quinn Ewers coming out of Texas. He's there, too. What's your evaluation?
Well, and there's the flip side. Talk about a natural thrower, a gifted thrower of the football. Throws with great touch. You know, sometimes people go, it's too much touch. I don't think that's a thing as long as the ball gets there. So there was a lot of really, really good things that I liked about Quinn Ewers, which I wasn't sure when I went into the tape what I would see. Really liked a lot of the stuff. Because he's a gifted thrower, his technique would get away, and that would cost him at times. But I think he is one of those guys that somebody's going to take a chance on because of the physical ability. And if he can clean up, you know, some of the things, you know, technique-wise, I think he's got a chance.
Now, before I let you go, man, because this all leads to something that I think we've talked about multiple times when you've been on this show, Kurt, which is most of these players will not – Cam Ward's starting week one. We can make that – we can pretty much say something as
– Yeah, for sure.
As declarative as that. The rest of the class don't know. These guys usually do get, pushed up a little faster. Mm-hmm. It's the development. Like, these guys could be great quarterbacks down the road. But how you develop these guys, man? And so, there is no Arena League. There is no Amsterdam Admirals. Those are, again, we're talking about the DNA of your journey. So I'm an owner in the NFL. I am now, I'll send my jet for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
I'm sending my jet for you to come speak to the membership at the National Football League and say, you tell us how to change the rules or what to do to develop quarterbacks in this league. Kurt Warner, you tell me the, because I want to do, like, if I'm drafting these kids tonight or tomorrow night or Saturday, and I know they're going to have to play, how the hell am I getting them ready?
I think it's a great,
I want to know.
It's a great point. And I would say the first thing is you've got to give me more time with my guys in the offseason. Even if it is just that position there's more that goes into playing quarterback and that you have to work on that you just can't do it during the regular season. You just don't have time to really do it. Or, as you're alluding to, we need another league. Like, I often, in my journey, started here in Green Bay and I was cut by Green Bay. And I tell people all the time, from the day I was cut in 1994 from the Green Bay Packers until the day I retired from the NFL in 2009, Brett Favre did not miss a start in the National Football League. He did not miss a start in the National Football League. Right. And the reason I say that is because had Mooch not cut me, and had I made it with the Packers, I'd have never played football. I would have played a few snaps in a preseason game here or there, and we know Aaron Brooks and Matt Hasselbeck and some guys that went on from Green Bay to play in other. But I went and played arena football, and I went and played in Europe, and I played more snaps than any backup quarterback in the history of time over that period of time. So when I got my chance in 99, I was so ready to play football. I had played so much. I was seasoned. I was confident in who I was. And I could hit the ground running. And it's why in my first season I was able to win an MVP, because I was ready as a player. And it only came from those snaps and those opportunities to be on a field and experience those different situations, which guys have no chance to do right now. And you also know there's no patience in this league either. And so when you get your chance, you better be ready. If you're not, you're gone. And so, I have been a proponent for years of the NFL figuring out a way. I mean, NFL Europe. I mean, how many, Super Bowl quarterbacks? I played with Jake Delhomme over there, who played in the Super Bowl, and Rich Gannon, who played in this. Like, so many guys that cut their teeth in that league, and they came back and they had great careers in the National Football League, that there needs to be a training ground for certain positions. And the NFL, to me, has to figure it out. And, I know it's hard to say because I just talked earlier about, look where the quarterback position is in the NFL. But you also know, from starter to backup in this league, is a huge crevice between, what that talent is and these backup guys that never get a chance to play. I believe another league would only help to strengthen that position.
Yeah, man. I plus one on all that. And plus, you and I are personally seeing the you planted the shoots back in the day with NFL Europe. We're going all over Europe right now calling games, and there are diehard fans because the sport's been around there for a long time. And plus, if you weren't in NFL Europe, how in the world would you wind up on the Iron Throne so willingly, Kurt Warner? There it is.
There it is.
And the Queen of the North right
there.
That's
right.
Okay. Right
Kurt
there.
Kurt of House Warner. Okay. That's it. Right there.
There it is. Is that the real Iron Throne?
Okay, so what I understand is there were three Iron Thrones that were used in
sort
the show.
Sort of like Lombardi's.
One of them was gifted to Croatia, and that is the one that was gifted from the show to Croatia. So I guess, it's a legit Iron Throne.
How about that?
Yeah.
fantastic. So when you tell me shame every single Sunday morning.
I did. I ran. Okay. I ran the shame steps. I did.
Did you really?
I did. Yes. Yeah. I ran.
Did you have a bell with you?
A couple mornings. I did have clothes on.
The bell behind you?
I did have clothes on. I wasn't ringing a bell. No, but I did run the steps.
And Rich.
I by the way, I ran the shame 40.
Okay.
You'll see the content of that on Saturday.
Rich, funny thing, Kurt slid in there was, I won MVP my first season.
Oh, I heard that.
As a starter. That was a flex. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
That was just kind of facts. Emphasizing a point.
This team will rally behind Kurt Warner.
Good to, that's what we're going to do tonight on NFL Network. Good to see you, sir.
All right, buddy. Can't wait.
While you and I are on NFL Network, the gentlemen behind your right shoulder are going to be on ESPN and ABC doing the same
thing.
Doing
a great job.
Yeah. My longtime buddies, Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis, are here together next. We're making this a tradition on a draft day. This is awesome. Don't go anywhere. Reese and Greeny when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly. All under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
McDonald's meets the Minecraft universe with one of six collectibles and your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets with spicy nether flame sauce. Now available with a Minecraft movie meal.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time, a Minecraft movie only in theaters.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel, our radio audience will rejoin us for a simulcast. My buddies Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis are here, the hosts of the NFL Draft on ESPN and ABC, respectively.
Thank you guys for having us.
It's so funny when you're like, which seat do we sit in? And then you mention how if this was the old SportsCenter days, the man with the most tenure, or lady, in the case of Linda, would choose where he or she sat, and you'd have to take the other one. That's correct.
So Reese would have gotten to choose before me. And where would you have been in that? Which of you started at ESPN?
Oh, he started before.
Yeah, a little before bit Rich. Before Rich.
Oh, yeah. Reese and I used to do the 2 a.m. Quite a bit, and he was the veteran. I say this every time. I embarrass you, I'm sure. But you invited me over to your house for Thanksgiving. My first year there, I was by myself up there in Connecticut. You opened the door. You were so gracious, man. You were so awesome to me at the very beginning, and I just always will never forget that.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll have to have you guys come back and do it again some year, but we're both pretty busy that time of year. But it would be awesome. I mean, I appreciate the fact that our friendship has carried on, even when there have been occasional gaps in communication. I mean, it's like we pick up where we left off every time, and I appreciate
that's
that.
That's the way it feels with old time.
Well, this has become a nice tradition.
It has been.
And I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Draft Thursday.
Because if there's anybody who knows what preparation goes into it, it would be me and you guys for me as well. There's just a lot going on. But I always remembered, Stewart loved the seat to the right, looking at the camera. So it was camera left. That's where that was his seat because he had tenure. Mm-hmm. He was on ESPN2 for many a year before I showed up. Mm-hmm. And then I think you liked the other seat, right?
I did usually, but it wasn't a big deal. What is a big deal to me is in my 30 years at ESPN, I'm a left ear IFB guy. Now on game day, you double ear.
Yeah, right.
I've done one show of right ear, and I was totally discombobulated. I could sit in the other thing. I forgot my IFB. They only had a right ear, and I was turning the wrong way all night, man. It was.
I remember all of that, man, especially, back in that day, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network here with Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis here, that, Dan Patrick was the seat that I sat in when I was with Stewart, and if I ever did with Dan, I had to sit in the other seat. I would be ping-ponging left and right for the first few years of my career because that was who was deciding, you know, back
in the day. Sitting in the ESPN news studio with Dave Feldman, wishing that I could come over and be in the Sports Center studio with you guys. I would have been delighted to sit in any of the seats.
I think I was hired just 2 months before you or something.
I got there in September of 96.
I got there in February of 96.
So 6 months.
So I think I was the last hire that got thrown directly on Sports Center because there was the advent of ESPN news back in the day.
And we were like a pledge class. Like we started ESPN News. There were, I think, 8 or 9 of us who started at the same time. And it was really sort of like joining a fraternity together. We were people who did not know each other at all, and now here we are thrown together. And we all have remained friends to this day. It's a nice little trivia question. The only two left from that original group at ESPN are myself and John Buccigross.
And I love watching him with hockey. I mean, you know, I love watching
him do
his thing.
Loves it so much. He's tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, he lives it, he breathes it, he's all about it, you know. I just love it. Now look what you guys are doing for the company. I mean, it's not just, you know, what you do in the mornings, what you do on the weekends as well for the company. It's kind of, I mean, I watch that. My kid wakes up, my Coop wakes up, and he's watching you every single Saturday, you know, watching on game day, and you know, it's really cool what you guys have done for the Walt Disney Company at this time.
I said, thank you. It's nice to say. I sent Reese and the guys a note last summer. I was having sort of just this little sad time. Our dog died, and I had never had a dog. I grew up in a building. It was horrendous. However bad I thought it was going to be, it was 10,000 times worse.
Yes.
And so I was feeling very sad, and we were on a little vacation right before the football season started, and we were in Colorado. So I walked into a restaurant for a very early breakfast. And, you know, the hours are so off, it didn't even occur to me. And I looked up at the TV screen, and you guys were on. You were in the first game. I think it was
in Dublin? Yeah, in Dublin.
Yeah, Pat McAfee was still hungover. But I sent you guys a text.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, something about seeing you guys on there made me feel like all is okay with the world. Like, it really did. Like, there's just some things in life that make you feel like, all right, there's still something left I can count on. You guys are sitting up there on Saturday morning talking about football. And so I think that show has become that. And so that was a nice moment. That's just what I thought of when you were saying that.
And it's the truth, though. But that, you know, that's the key to succeeding in our business, is to be surrounded by my guys here to my left here on this show. Mm-hmm. And obviously the guys I'm surrounded by and the ladies I'm surrounded by on game day morning, on Sunday mornings on NFL Network, what you do on Get Up, what you do on a College Game Day, what you did with Golic back in the day, is people mm-hmm. want to connect. Like, they want to be, it's a hang. You know, you see that with McAfee's guys too, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, that's the key. And Corso, he's got one more year left. Is that basically
it? He has one more show.
One more show.
Yeah, he's going to have a farewell show wherever we wind up week one. That's yet to be determined. And he's going to be 90 years old.
Oh, my God.
By the time that show comes around, and we'll celebrate him the way he should be celebrated. He's the cornerstone, and all the things you mentioned about that show connecting with people and them making it a part of their Saturday morning and feeling that love and connection with them, it's because of him. I mean, he loves the show and the sport and the people involved and the people who cover it and play it and coach it. And, you know, I mentioned this when we announced that he was stepping down, that I think it would have been very easy for him because Fowler did such an unbelievable job with that show for 25 years. And when I came in, it would have been real easy for LC, even though I knew him, to go, yeah, okay, let's see how it goes. Not that way. Okay, here we go, sweetheart. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. You know, and you know, I mean, that's the way he is. He's like that with everybody that comes in, open arms. And the show will be different without him. But at the same time, I think the things that he has sort of made part of the fabric of that entire show are going to be there permanently. I mean, he's the reason that it has succeeded the way it has.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting on the headgear and the college kids going crazy behind him. My favorite Corso story, and then we'll get to the draft for tonight. My favorite Corso story comes from Rod Woodson, who I worked with for a million years on NFL Total Access on the net. And he tells a story about how he got recruited. And, you know, he's from Indiana. And I asked him, why didn't you go to Indiana? He went to Purdue, as we all know. And he said he was recruited by Indiana. And he opened the door one day to his house. And standing on the other side of the doorstep was Lee Corso. And Corso, like, rings his doorbell. Rod Woodson opens it up, and it's Lee Corso saying, son, I've just been fired as the head coach of Indiana University. On my way over, I heard it in the car on the radio. That's how he learned it was done. And he goes, but it's still an amazing school, and I think you should go there.
Wow.
That was what his pitch was, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. He went to Purdue. But it was still just amazing that he's, like, fired on the way over to see one of the generationally brilliant players to ever emerge from that state. And he's still trying to, you should still go there. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what he said.
It's Ron. Really, it shows the kind of man that he is.
Right.
And it flies in the face of something that Dick Vitale told me one time, somewhat in jest, a little bit. But Vitale said, you show me a coach who has been fired and says he still roots for that school, and I will show you, insert adjective, liar. Right? So if there is an exception to that,
yes,
it's LC, and I believe that story, and I believe he meant it.
That's all right, now I got to tell my favorite Dick Vitale story.
Oh, let's hear that.
Because, you know, Dickie V would be doing tons of games before SportsCenter, right? And he loved giving Stewart a shout out with me, like, hey, who's coming up next? It's Richard Stu. You got to stay tuned, all that stuff.
Awesome, baby.
So, you know, cut to being handed a cardboard box by ESPN in 2003. And so I'm on my honeymoon with Susie, who you guys know. And I'm driving on the A1 in Italy, white knuckling, okay? There are many, many, many small cars riding my rear bumper because I'm not going fast enough. My cell phone goes off. Susie answers it. She's like, hello? Like, and, oh my gosh, yeah, hold on a second. She hands me the phone, which she would never, like, if I had answered the phone, she would have, like, read me the riot act. She hands me, I'm like, who is this, the president? It's Dick Vitale calling to say how upset he was that I was no longer with ESPN and wishing me the best of luck.
Wow.
And I thought to myself a million things, which is I'm driving in Italy and Dick Vitale is calling me right now. This is the coolest thing of all time. He couldn't have been nicer also, Dickie V, you know?
And he remains that way. I mean, there are so many things about ESPN. Look, we make 1,000 decisions a day. Obviously, some of them are probably not right. But the way we have, the respect with which we have treated these legends, yes, who have been there forever, mm-hmm, like Lee Corso and Dick Vitale and some others, Cliff Drysdale and many others who built the place. Yeah.
Hubie Brown.
Hubie.
Oh,
yeah. Say Hubie, my favorite analyst.
The painted area.
Of all time. Foul shots, three to make two. And then I love when he would laugh at things that only he thought were funny. And I say this with, nothing but respect. He was my favorite analyst in any sport ever. I don't think anyone ever taught the game better than he did. I think that's among the things we've gotten as right as anything else.
Let's talk about the draft. I've got Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis here. Greeny, let's go first. You think the story of tonight is going to be what?
Well, and I was listening to your conversation with Kurt Warner. It would sort of be cliche to say the story is where is Shedeur Sanders going to go.
No, I don't think it's cliche at all.
The conversation began with the Giants taking him at 3, and it has morphed all the way to, will he still be available tomorrow night when the Browns are picking at 33? And the honest answer is I have absolutely no idea. I feel like if Aaron Rodgers were, well, at all committed to the Pittsburgh Steelers, then I would feel like there was a better chance that Shedeur slides all the way through the evening. I say this just based on, as an observer, I'm obviously not, I'm not an expert on that. I'm not an insider, but I can't imagine the Steelers coming out of this without a quarterback. If you watched the interview that Aaron did with Pat McAfee, and we just lived, you and I, through the Aaron Rodgers experience as a Jet fan for the last 2 years. Like, say whatever you will about him, he does not sound like a person who was excited to go play there.
He didn't sound like a person who was ready to play, commit. Like, I think he would definitely get excited to play there once he's now through whatever else he's thinking about in his life. I kind of, playing in Pittsburgh, one last shot. You're playing the NFC North and the AFC East. You get to take one last stroll through the NFL against the teams you'd love to beat and you used to beat quite a bit. I think he would get into it, but I understand what you're saying. He didn't sound like a guy who was ready to commit.
That's what I mean. Unless they know something that we don't.
Right.
If I'm them, I'm getting a quarterback. And so to me, it feels like if Sanders is there at 21, I feel like the Steelers would take him. I base that exclusively on my own opinion and not on any insight or knowledge that I have.
I agree with you, and I also think it's the story of the night. I don't think he'll make it all the way out of tonight, because if the Steelers were to pass on him, I think then it might set off a chain of events of something we haven't seen yet, a lot of trades and people trying to get into the first round at the end of the first round to get him, which I'm optimistic about his success, but I actually also think that's about the right place.
Pittsburgh?
Later in the first round.
I see what you're saying.
Later in the first round, and I'm not so sure I don't feel that way about all of the quarterbacks. I don't blame Tennessee for taking Cam Ward. A lot of ability. Upside is there for sure. But overall, big picture, great quarterback prospects. Probably the second half of the first round for all of these guys at best, and most of them the next 2 days after that.
Well, you had a front row seat for the last 2 years with the Colorado Buffaloes, that's for sure. I don't know, man. I look at Travis Hunter and I think to myself, we can't comp him. There's no comp. Right. And that's why Andrew Berry mentioned Shohei Ohtani as a comp. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are we talking about here? Except the most unique, which I know is redundant, talent that we have seen. There's no comparison, which is why I don't know. Like, did we go through the season? Did you go through the college game day season looking at Cam Ward, not to put you on the spot, that's the first overall pick in the draft?
No. And I like him. Big fan. Thought he was the best quarterback in the country this year. But number one overall pick, like, I mean, I'm a big Drake May guy. Maybe I'll be proven wrong about this. I liked May better than the other two that went at the top last year. But I don't see them that way. That doesn't mean, to Kurt Warner's point earlier, that they can't develop and become that. I certainly see the traits on both those guys, with Cam Ward, Shadur, that show that they could have success in the NFL, for sure. No, I'm not doubting that for a second. But you know, to say that you're going to, I know it's not as expensive as it used to be, but to stake your franchise at this point, it's tough. I'd take Travis Hunter. I would take Travis Hunter first overall if I were in there, or I would lobby for it.
I did an essay, by the way, this week that I thought was interesting, but Paul Hembikides, who does our research, is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And what will happen tonight is Cam Ward will get drafted.
Yes, sir.
And then maybe we'll wait a long time for Shadur to get drafted. And the narrative for tonight will be, woe is him, how sorry everyone will feel for him. The reality is, being the second quarterback taken in your draft class in recent memory is by far the best thing that can happen to you. If you look at last year with Jaden Daniels, you look at the year before that with C.J. Stroud, the last 9 MVPs in the NFL have all been quarterbacks. It's 5 different people. None of them were the first quarterback taken in their class. This past year, 9 quarterbacks started a playoff game for the team that drafted them. A combined total of 0 of them were the first quarterback taken in their class. So while tonight is a very special night, it's just one night, and then what really matters is what comes next. And at least in recent memory, being the first quarterback in the class has not always worked out so well.
You know, and then you could also say the second overall pick has been the star of the draft, and Travis Hunter could be that again after Jaden Daniels last year, and then before that C.J. Stroud on top of it. And, you know, ask Lamar Jackson how his long night paid off for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's sitting there on top of his stacks right now with 2 MVP trophies and an annual shot at the Super Bowl. Right.
And he's going to, I mean, you guys are locked in on the NFL more. He's going to win one, if not more than one,
before
it's over.
Right?
Yeah. He's going to. He was so phenomenal in college, and every little thing that you might look at and say he needed to improve, he did. But he already was well coached in college by Bobby Petrino, for whatever, you know, people might have the visceral reaction when you say that name. But Lamar is a guy that you look at with all these skills and then still did all of the work to elevate right there. And he's become a guy that's easy to root for. I think you're like, okay, this guy's so good, he's got to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, and Allen was in that same class.
Yeah.
And, of course, is outstanding. And Baker was the first quarterback taken mm-hmm. that year, and Sam Darnold was the second. So I think the point remains the same. One of these guys is going to it'll be determined by where they wind up, by the coaching they get, the circumstances they wind up in, not by what number is attached to their name when they get drafted.
Well, I know you've got a show at 4, but let's finish the show together. We're at top of the hour. Are you guys cool?
Sure.
Yeah, I've got nothing to do. Yeah.
Especially since, Reese, if you don't mind, a moment for the Jet fans in a split second. Reese Hall's name is out there as being trade bait, and he has tweeted in response.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
Mute. Workday is starting to sound the same.
I think you're on mute.
Find something that sounds better for your career on LinkedIn. With LinkedIn Job Collections, you can browse curated collections by relevant industries and benefits, like flex PTO or hybrid workplaces, so you can find the right job for you. Get started at linkedin.com/jobs. Finding where you fit. LinkedIn knows how.
With COVID and also with redshirt and with 3 transfers, 3 different schools, 7 years basically between now and when you left high school in Arizona, and then the bone breaks at your 25. How do you respond to those who ask you about your age and your injury history when you're being interviewed by these teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an advantage. Like I said, I've kind of had a crash course of the NFL. You got guys who are going to get cut, you know, injured in the NFL. They're going to get benched, you know, booed when you come in. And, you know, I would have loved to have a 3-year illustrious career in college and everything go right. But then I would have maybe had a different sense of entitlement or things were always going to go my way. And I feel much more mentally and physically equipped to go out there and handle the task because I've gone through it. If anything, I'm more athletic than I ever have been. And in better shape. I just had the bone breaks, and you know, as a 25-year-old, like you see with Bo Nix and Penix and Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, guys are kind of really getting into their stride after they've kind of gone through some stuff. And then you got MVP level play by Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers well into their late 30s, and Stafford playing his butt off. And I think a lot of teams just kind of recognize that. And I feel like I'm the most pro-ready guy in this draft class, just with everything I've been through and my physical tools, and hopefully teams are on the same page with that.
Bravo, Tyler Shuck. That's a heck of an answer, and I'm not just saying that you're giving me an answer. That was clearly something born out of experience and born out of what you've brought to the table here. Do you have any plans for draft night yet?
Yeah, we'll be back home in Arizona with some close family and friends, just hanging out there.
What's that moment going to be like for you, you think?
It'll be a great culmination of a lot of things. I think this whole process has benefited me because, and you know, there was a certain point where I didn't think it was necessarily in the cards. So that's why I'm, you know, getting the crowd going. I'm not nervous throughout these meetings and throwing because, like, man, this wasn't supposed to happen. So if it doesn't work out, then great. It wasn't supposed to work out, but if it works out, then man, I'm going to play my butt off and I'm going to compete. And if I get drafted and wherever it is, I'm going to make the most of it and work my tail off. So it'll be just a great moment with everybody who's kind of been along for the journey.
Did you ever think of giving up at any point in the 7 years, Tyler?
No. I mean, I'm a human, you know, I'm laying there and I'm getting carted off with my leg hanging on by a thread. And I'm like I said, I should have played golf or I don't know if this is the right thing, but deep down, I'm like, man, I know if I get an opportunity, I'm gonna make the most of it, and I know I can play with anybody, and like it's just mentally hardened me. But I knew if I get an opportunity, and that's all I wanted, that I was gonna do it, and I feel like my best ball is ahead of me, and that's why my passion is just so high.
What does a team get if they draft Tyler Shuck?
I think you're getting a high-level person and competitor that's gonna bring your team to the next level. Like I said, whether you're coming in and you're seeing me as adding value to the quarterback room and supporting the starter, but I also feel like I'm the most pro-ready guy that's gonna win you, that's gonna get you to the playoffs and get you where you want to be, because I've been through it. You know, I'm not fazed by what's gonna happen on the field or off the field, and I have all the tools necessary to go make it happen. So. I never flinch, and I'm going to come out there and do everything I can to get better.
Tyler Shuck, who turns 53 years old today.
Oh. Come on.
I'm just kidding. Come on now. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And a friendly reminder from our friends at Hyundai. Every Hyundai offers available class exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006. And those Top Safety Awards from IIHS include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick and Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. Because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. You know, I know I'm speaking to an NBA, an NAB Hall of Famer. You know all about having to do the
I think it is a reasonable assumption that there is no person alive who has read more commercials in their lives than I have. So I very much appreciate the task at hand.
The Mike and Rich Show right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Reese Davis joining as well with Mike Greenberg here on the show. All right. Reese, I'm sorry for a moment. It's just going to need to take a second if you'll indulge.
Chad Strong.
I will.
But trouble. I mean, Breece Hall earlier today just tweeted out, fingers crossed. There it is. Fingers crossed. What in the world would this mean? Less than an hour ago. Okay, fingers crossed. Josina Anderson then sends out maybe what he's crossing his fingers for, or I don't know. But she says that a league source tells me they've heard about the potential availability of Breece Hall, quote unquote, within the last week and a half. Mm. Put two and two together, and I don't know what the heck's happening right here. What do you think? That's it. Okay, that's his comment.
I like Breece Hall a lot. I mean, here's the reality of the situation. Depending on what you can get for him, he was not a first-round pick, so they don't get the fifth-year option on Breece Hall.
This is it. Yes.
If you're either going to commit to him long-term, and I think that as magnificent as Saquon Barkley was last year, and as magnificent as Derrick Henry and all the other running backs that had big years were last year were. That's a luxury. I do not think the Jets are in a position right now to pay big money to a running back. They have so many other needs. So honestly, as much as it would break my heart, because I think he has the ability to be a terrific player, I don't know that trading him right now, if you get something really good in return, is not, in the big picture, the best thing for them to do.
Well, I mean, they better get Genty if they trade him. It's kind of that simple, right? I mean, I shouldn't say something like that, I guess, because you can get maybe a really good running back. Listen, I mean, they got him in the second round. And I'm assuming, if this is the way they're thinking, they got to pay Sauce and they got to pay Garrett Wilson. Those guys aren't walking out of the building.
Certainly Wilson.
Sauce go. You cannot let Sauce go.
Sauce worried me a little bit last year. I'm hoping that working with Aaron Glenn will be great. Sauce got hurt a lot last year. I mean, his frame, I think, is problematic. Every time he made a tackle, it felt like he had to come off the field, and I felt like teams were scheming to run the ball in his direction to force him to tackle. I love him. I think he is a great player. I certainly want him to be on the team going forward. The one non-negotiable for me is Garrett Wilson, who I think, under the right circumstances, could be a top five receiver in the NFL for a decade.
And they hook him up with his college quarterback. I mean, that's the idea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, play like it's 2019 again, you know?
I ran into to Justin at an event in New York a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's got all of the talent in the world. But all quarterbacks need stability, and Jets haven't been able to provide that to anybody yet, but hopefully they can with him. And maybe they capture something there with the two of them, because he seems very confident. He seems eager to embrace sort of a prove-it situation for him, I think.
I don't know, man. Going to the Jets and asking for stability is like going to some like gluten-free place and asking for, you know, sourdough. You know what I mean? Like
that's there's not, an enormous
like
irony.
In the wrong store, you know? I mean,
there is an irony in leaving the Pittsburgh Steelers and going to the New York Jets in search of stability.
In search of stability, yeah.
The Steelers have had as many coaches since 1969 as the Jets have had since last September.
Let me clarify. I wasn't
That's
implying.
That's not a joke, by the way.
I wasn't implying that he was going to get it. I'm saying that if someone could give it to him, maybe he could reach his talent level.
That's right. Maybe this is the time.
Maybe this is
actually going to happen. Wow. The starters in MetLife next year is the last year's quarterback room in Pittsburgh. I mean, you can't make a lot of this stuff up.
Maybe.
I don't know. What do you think? Jameis is going to beat out?
No, I think the Giants are going to draft a quarterback.
And start him. Week one?
Maybe not week one, but I think what they're doing actually makes sense. The much maligned Giants, they went out and they got exactly the right person to be the starter for a month or however long it takes for one of these guys. And I'll tell you, the one I'm intrigued by is the one that I just watched you interviewing from last month is Tyler Shuck.
Uh-huh.
I think Tyler Shuck and Reese, what do you think? Trade in to the back end of round one? Or maybe he is still sitting there.
I think he'll be there round two.
Round two.
So the Giants' second pick in the second round, you take someone like Tyler Shuck or someone, whichever one of these guys you like, if they are still there. I actually think that's a plan that makes sense.
You are with the College Game Day crew mostly tonight?
Yes.
Who's with you?
We've got Kirk Herbstreit, Nick Saban, Field Yates, Pete Tham will be working with us, and sitting to my right will be the MVP of Super Bowl 31 from your Green Bay Packers.
Oh, baby.
Desmond Howell.
Truly one of my favorite human beings on the planet. Like, I smile every single set. In terms of top five people who have made me happy, he's in the top five of my entire life, Desmond Howard.
Punt return? Against Ohio State, all of it, catch against Notre Dame.
The Heisman pose, the whole thing. And the fact that he's from the state of Ohio makes it that much sweeter. And you are with this evening.
Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, Booger McFarland, and Adam Schefter.
We'll also have Laura Rutledge in the green room.
Oh, and Molly McGrath will be down there doing interviews.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best of luck.
You too.
This is
a great tradition.
I love it. Let's keep doing it as long as you guys are willing. I'm happy to do it. It's like the State of the Union, right?
Right. It's a little like that.
It is. It's all different. The State of the Union's longer than tonight. That's for sure. That's Reese Davis. That's Mike Greenberg. We'll be back to wrap it up on the Roku channel in a moment.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.